The following podcast is an Embassy Row production.
Hello, and welcome back to the Melodramatic Teen Universe. Hello, you made it another 2 weeks. I'm so proud of you. I'm so impressed by you. Well done. We are, of course, the show giving you the most salacious takes on shows that came out decades ago, because that's what we're here for, and that's why you came to this podcast. So thank you for clicking, and I'm so excited for you and the journey that we're going on today. I am, of course, your host, Emily Duke. This week is amazing. I know I say that every week, but oh Lord, am I excited for just the very, very, very hot takes that are going to come out today. We will be focusing on marriages in the melodramatic teen universe, specifically that of Eric and Tammy Taylor in Friday Night Lights and Kiki and Sandy Cohen in The OC. I do call her Kiki, which she does not like, but I don't give a shit because she's fictional. So that's what I will be calling her. And to bring me on that journey, I mean, maybe, fuck it, bring me. You're the host now. To join me on that journey and bring me, and to just like really fill out the circle here, I have the incredible Sachi Cool. Sachi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Sachi, just for those of you at home, has some like really dope red headphones, and they're making me really insecure about like the color palette of my video.
I've always wanted to make people insecure about stuff, but I didn't know this was the thing.
No, this is definitely the thing. Any like a pop of color really does it for me. Like that's it. And okay, then I'm just like, oh no, I'm a horrible, horrible
good
failure.
Good to know. Okay.
So I guess before we get started too deep, give me a little bit of context of your journey with The OC and Friday Night Lights.
So I watched The OC in real time because that was a show that came out when I was like, I think
in 2003. Like
yeah. So it would have been like junior high and then into high school. So I watched it. I loved it. I was also growing up in Canada. So like the channels we got weren't always the same. So if we got like a show at the same time that the States did, especially in the town I was in, it was a big deal. So okay. We had The OC. Like I was obsessed with it. I had such a crush on everybody on that show. It was really...
But obviously Seth, most importantly, right?
No.
Really?
So I would say that I liked Seth because that was like the popular answer amongst like all of the waspy white girls.
See, but they didn't want it to be the popular answer. They wanted it to be Ryan, I think.
I think they were providing options for two archetypes of girls. They yeah. literally were like, okay, there's two girls in the world. There are girls who like sweet nerds, and then there are girls who want to fix like abused puppies. So
abused puppies who are still like quite kind. They kind of fucked up, I guess, until we meet like Ryan's rapey brother. We don't really get the like.
Yeah, and then that's like he's gross by association, but that's not really it. Like,
yeah.
But they very clearly offered like, okay, there are only two types of men in the world and only two types of women.
Spot on. Two types of women? Yes.
But also you're assuming that the person that I liked was Ryan.
Was it Caleb? Like, what's your journey?
No, I loved Sandy. Of course I loved Sandy.
Okay, well, for those of you regular listeners at home, you will know that we did an entire episode about the daddies of the melodramatic teen universe.
It's like a whole
heavily
thing.
Heavily featuring Sandy Cohen. I mean, Sandy Cohen 100% can get it. Like, I'm not arguing with that. Like, nobody's ever arguing with that. I will say that I was, for the purposes of that podcast, I did not 100% buy in. I think Sandy has some shitty moments. I think Sandy is not necessarily the best dude. And I think he gets a lot of credit for that.
Pure aesthetics. Like, I'm not really like worried too
much. Oh, you were just
like
in it for the eyebrows. You just like wanted to sit on his face.
A little bit.
Okay.
Sounds like a soft, warm place to land.
All right. I'm into it. I support you.
So it wasn't really until I think later seasons that I started to get into Ryan. I just found him too impish at the beginning, and same with Seth. I was like, these guys
are... A rewatch is really making Luke do it for me. I'm rewatching right now with my husband, who has never seen a teen drama in his life, like not a single one.
Unbelievable.
And he doesn't listen to my podcast, and he's generally just not supportive. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, no, all that's true, but sure, he's supportive. We'll say that. He's a straight white man. He can have that.
Sure. He's doing his best.
Yeah, his immediate reaction is he's like, Seth makes the show good, and he was like, and Sandy is just... too much. And I hadn't really put my finger on it, but he was like, Sandy is great when they give him 30% of what they are giving him. Like, they just make him do so much, and it's so exaggerated and so over the top. And he was like, he's better when it's these small, brief little pockets.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I think I probably wasn't thinking about it that intensely at the time. I think I was just enjoying like that everybody was fighting, and I really thrive off of conflict. So I was like, this is great. Perfect.
But Sandy's also never fighting. Sandy's always in a peacemaker role, right?
Yeah, but he's still involved of it with his wife and her dad and like that whole thing. Like he's in it in that. And then he's a progressive hero. Yeah. Like I get it. And then I would say like Friday Night Lights, I didn't watch until I think a year or two ago.
Okay.
And I found it. I hated it. I was like, I don't understand the appeal of this at all. And I don't even get it because I'm pretty connected with my like teenage self. Like it's demonstrably clear to me what like YouTubers who are around now that I would have liked when I was 15. But now
drop some.
Well, I think like there's a lot of the makeup dudes really fun that I would have been like, oh, I love this. And I probably would have started doing eyeshadow. Now I'm like, I'm not, no new hobbies. Like I'm out. But like at that time I would have gotten it. But when I watched Friday Night Lights, I was like, there's nothing in this that I would have cared about. All of the guys are like just the worst, the worst.
You do see the objectively physical appeal of Riggins though.
I see zero appeal in Riggins.
Wow.
I've had this fight with almost everybody I work with.
Riggins is the non-impish Ryan Atwood. Oh my God. That is shocking to me.
I don't get it.
So you're just like an old soul.
Yeah, I'm an old woman. I know that. I know that about myself.
That's what I'm learning. I feel like you're just like feeling pedophilic with like all of these young boys. Like you're just like, no, Sandy Cohen.
No, maybe that's it. I'm like, take a shower.
Even though they're all like 30.
I know. And that's how I know that like my distaste for it is sincere and not just that I'm too old for the show, because I know that these guys are actually my age now.
Yeah.
Or approximately my age. But like, I just, there's so little in that show I found compelling. And I have
to compelled you to watch it in the first place?
Because everybody was like, this is the best show. And first I didn't watch it because I thought it was actually about sports. Because I hate football. So I was like, I'm not watching a football show. And they're like,
learned what a down is. So
I'm not bothering with that. But everybody was like, no, don't worry. It's not actually about that. Like you can get into it. And it's like, it's a soapy thing. And I was like, I love soap. Okay, great. And then I started watching it. And I was like, this is about football. I was lied to.
It is kind of about football.
Yeah. Like you have to care about the, like what's happening between schools and like, oh, so-and-so's not play. I don't give a shit.
Much more than One Tree Hill is about basketball.
Yeah.
And it's about football much more than I was going to bring this up earlier, but I feel like football is to Eric the way like capitalism is to Kiki, where it's just this thing that's like fundamentally problematic that one member of the marriage really like lives for and the other one just has to like apologize for and is kind of like, but I still love you. Like, I feel like it is as much about football as the OC is about capitalist culture.
Yeah. But I guess like I understand. Like, I fundamentally understand what capitalism is, though I might disagree with it. I don't get football. And so I don't care. And I also was watching and I was like, none of this matters. All of these characters are pretending like football matters. And it only matters if you want it to matter. And if it doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter. Like, I went through high school. It didn't matter. And that here we are. Like,
okay. But can I ask somebody that I hope isn't ignorant? Is there football in Canada?
Yeah, but it's different. Like, we actually have like the field is shorter. And so the rules are different.
Okay.
And there are not very many teams. I grew up in a city that had a team, but I think so. Right? Yes.
See? I went to my first football game my junior year of college.
Yeah.
A couple of friends and I, it was right after Four Loko got banned in like many of the states, specifically the state of New Hampshire was very early where I went to college. Mm-hmm. My friends and I all borrowed a car and drove from our college in New Hampshire to upstate New York to buy original Four Loko in bulk for my friend's birthday and then to sell it at $5 a pop out of the trunk of our car. That was like, that is a very specific energy. And on the way home, I drank Four Loko in the parking lot of a McDonald's and then drove by a football game because it was a Friday night. And I was like, I've never seen a football game in my life. And my friends were like, okay, we're going. And so we crashed this random high school football game. And I lit a cigarette in the stands and we got like yelled at by a mom and they were like, you can't smoke here. And I was like, why? We're outside. And they were like, because it's a high school football game. And I was like, okay. So that's the extent of my experience with football.
Yeah. And every word you just said is so uniquely American to me that I don't even know. Like, like all of those words, I'm like, I know what they mean, but in that order, I don't get it. So Like, it sounds like it'd be fun. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's but good. I mean, yeah, I don't think the issue that I had with the show fundamentally was just about the fact that it was about football, but I found all of the characters so deeply unlikable. And, yeah. And the big difference is that, like, on the OC, I actually, like, I recognize that most of them are trash. Like, I think Seth is a whiny, plaintive, like, overprivileged brat who is conventionally attractive and is still, like, he's this close to becoming an incel on that show. Yeah. We just didn't have the language for it at the time. Like,
and also he, like, actually slammed a lot of pussy from, like, 15 to 17.
And he's, like, doing fine. Yeah, like, he's whining about nothing. But
he was an incel at, like, 14, which, like, so are a lot of people.
Right. And that's the other thing. Apparently, he's 14 when you meet him. I'm like, I don't remember a single boy looking like that.
Also, let's forget when he's, like, shirtless in Vegas and he's, like, ripped. Like, he's, like, huge. Broad shoulders, ripped. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
These are,
right,
like,
now?
These men are all, like, they're all 25 and 165 pounds. And I'm supposed to believe that they're, like, tiny, scrawny wiener boys. Like
comic book nerds.
Ridiculous. But, like, I can at least watch that show and feel like, okay, I see some redeeming qualities in certain characters, and the writing is really fun and poppy and funny.
Yeah.
And I just never felt that with Friday Night Lights. So I finished it, and I remember everybody that everyone I work with was for some reason really into this show. Cause again, it wasn't like a thing with my high school friends. And they were like, oh my God, did you love it? Do you love Reagan's? And I was like, no, I'm, like, disturbed by this project that they made. I don't understand what's happening. I don't know, like, who's good, like, who's supposed to be good in this show. And then I swear to God, everybody on that show seemed to have the same name. It was like Landing. Like, they all have these weird names that sound like cement mixing plants. And I don't understand, like, I'm supposed to differentiate. They all look the same. If any single person from that cast, with the exception of Connie Britton,
who is a queen,
and the guy who plays her husband, who's God bless her, like, I hope he lives forever. And then I don't remember the guy who plays her husband,
Eric Taylor, who's played by Kyle Chandler.
Thank you. So with the exception of Connie Britton and Kyle Chandler, if I saw any of the cast anywhere, and even in context, like, if they wore a shirt that said I was on Friday Night Lights and these are all the episodes I was on,
and
the back
Saracen.
Had like, and yeah, and the back had a photo of them from the show, I would look at it and be like, oh, I guess that guy got it from, like, a thrift shop. Like, I don't really know what that is. Would not be able to tell you. Like, that is how forgettable I find that.
I mean,
show.
I will say, like, as far as forgettable, so I didn't watch it in real time. I similarly watched it because everybody was like, you have to fucking watch Friday Night Lights. I watched it in, like, 2011, I want to say, probably. Mm-hmm. Whenever it, like, dropped on Hulu, I feel like I was like, okay, cool, I'll, like, watch the whole thing. And I did get through it pretty quickly, and I did, like, I remember enjoying my time with it. Like, I do remember being like, I'm emotionally invested, like, I want to know what's happening, like, I, whatever, like, it's predictable, but I still, like, give a shit, whatever, even though I find Lila, like, the women characters, with the exception of Connie Britton, are just done real dirty on that show.
Like, I'm confident that, like, not only were there, like, there must have been no women in that writer's room.
Oh, I'm sure.
But even the men who were in that room, I don't think any of them had ever met a human woman.
No, I don't think so. I think they're what Seth Cohen purported to be.
Yeah, like, it was really like, have you guys ever talked to an, like, not a cadaver of a woman, like, a real one? Has she talked back? Like, did you get her name? Like, anything? Like, there just seems to be, it's so ghastly. And I know that then, like, it's that kind of weird TV sexism that made me hate all these women characters, because I'm sure they probably could have been written differently, but they were written so poorly.
I liked Tara. I feel like, well, hold on, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Which one's Tara? The sister or the daughter?
She's like the one that's kind of positioned in the beginning as, like, the bad girl slut.
Oh, she's sleeping with Riggins in the first episode.
And Smash. Yeah. She's dating Smash, I think, in the beginning. I like her. And I think she ends up marrying Riggins. I don't recall. Okay, so this is my whole thing with Friday Night Lights, is that I watched the whole thing in 2011, and literally, I rewatched the pilot for an episode, and I'm like, you know, I keep a pulse on the Friday Night Lights, like, general area and, like, you know, oeuvre of philosophical debate. But, like, I truly, before we did this episode, was looking online being like, what the fuck happens on the show? And, like, honestly, gun to my head, like, I couldn't have named, like, 5 significant plot points, let alone, like, individual episodes. Like,
nothing happens.
It doesn't stick with you in the same way that I think the OC does.
But the other tricky part about the show is that the writer's strike happened, I think, in the second season. And so The second season of the show is a mess. Like, it is a mess.
I mean, the first season, I think, is decent. I mean, the first season also has, like, a beginning, middle, end.
It's fine. There's a narrative arc. But with the second season, because the writer strike happened, they brought in people who, like, didn't really exactly know what to do. And yeah. So they finished the season. And then third season, they just pretended it didn't happen.
Is the third season when they split the high schools?
Or maybe that was, I don't remember, there was a season in the middle that, like, they did a bunch of things, and then the next season they're like, never mind, we're going to pretend. Like, there were characters that they were like, no, we're not doing this. Like, it was so bizarre. And I know that's not their fault, because there was a writer's strike and obviously no one should cross the picket line, but, like, it was just
a lot. Yeah.
Bad.
Well, okay. We've done a little bit of reconnaissance on your experience with the show. It's very important. Our next question that we ask our guests immediately upon entry, and then we're going to dig into, like, more nitty gritty the marriages. We like to ask our guests if there are any characters in the melodramatic teen universe, or any just melodramatic teens. They can be, like, TV teens, movie teens, literary teens, if you want to, like, you know, outperform everyone and say, like, Anna Karenina.
No.
Whatever. No. Or, like, you can just be like, I'm, like, Paris Hilton in 2015 will be like, okay, blink twice if you're in trouble. And yeah, so are there any teens that you identify with, either in general or just, like, today? Like, somebody who you feel like really, like, has, like, your energy today.
Today.
Or in general.
Oh, you know what? Probably. I mean, the movie that I felt like I understood and that understood me the most was Mean Girls, because that came out when I was, like, 9th or 10th grade.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the first movie that I saw where I was like, oh, this is the only fictional exploration of the trauma of being a girl in high school.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Like, yeah. It was the only one. And it hit in a lot of ways, like, about, like, the drinking and the, like, weird sexual politics. And honestly, yeah. If they had just made a character not white, it probably would have been it. But that was, like, the only thing that was missing for me. But, like,
they had Kevin Napoor.
They did, didn't they? Yeah, they did have him. That was something.
And they had the black girl who, like,
with the cute skirt,
where Tina Fey thinks that Tina Fey is like,
no,
welcome to from Africa.
From Africa. She's like, I'm from Michigan. Yeah. No.
Tina Fey, I mean, again, just being very on the nose with her white feminism and be like, get it? I get that I'm a white feminist, but I'm not going to change any of it.
Like, yeah. Cool. She seems to think that if she just acknowledges it, that's, like, plenty fine.
Yeah. She's just like, wink, wink. I'm so privileged. And then we're like, okay, like, so, like, do anything else. We're like,
so now what? Yeah, but I think, like, the Janice Ian section of that movie was like, oh, this is, and even in the criticism of Janice, where, like, because I think there've been a lot of discussions around that movie, and a lot of people have been like, Janice is the real villain. Like, she wants to destroy this girl over a rumor she started about her being a lesbian, which, like, who, like, in 2020, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of talk around, like, she's a monster. And I think, in high school, and certainly in the more dreadful version of myself, I'm very vindictive and I'm super mad if somebody, like, crosses me. And I think I probably, had I had the energy. Well, I mean, I know that I'm a grudge holder and I'm a jerk. Like, no one needs to teach me information about myself. But with that, it was like, oh, I can see if I wasn't really confident enough to do any of that stuff, but I could totally see, like,
like, if you were in a movie, that's what you would do.
That was my id. I was like, oh, I get it now. So that probably would be it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who I would be now. That's a really good question. I don't know.
Meditate on it later. Yeah, DM it. Like, that's fine. All right, cool. Well, let's get into the marriages. So we most recently talked about Friday Night Lights. So we'll limit this discussion because, again, it sounds like we're both a little over it with Friday Night Lights at this current juncture of our lives. But I will say Tammy and Eric, so Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton, do have, by all accounts, or at least superficially, a very sweet marriage, like a very like equal partners marriage. Right. So, like, as far as context, if you haven't seen the show, they're based in Texas. He's the head coach of the football team, which, like, you know, has successes and failures, and it's all very melodramatic, and the show's all about football and great. She is the guidance counselor, so, like, very maternal and warm, but also, like, you know, she doesn't take shit from no one, but, like, also she kind of does, and then ultimately becomes the principal. They have two daughters, one of whom is, like, horrible. Like, Julie Taylor is just, like, such a fucking brat.
A night. nightmare. I would love to talk to the person who wrote the character description for her and who was writing her scenes, because they hate that girl.
She is like the perfect example of like what happens to a mediocre person when their parents love them too much. And I say this about characters on these shows all the time, but like, it's literally like, oh, your parents are really kind and loving, and so like, you've literally never had trauma, so you think it's like traumatic that like, you can't find a shirt for the dance, and you're like, this is my trauma. And it's like, shut the fuck up, Julie.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, the setup of their marriage is basically that like, the coach is really the star of the show, more so than his wife, for sure. Like, they're not equals, which I would argue with Sandy and Kirsten is also kind of the case. And his wife is really, Connie Britton's just his sounding board. And, you know, they deal with a lot of ups and downs. They're constantly compromising for each other. They're constantly, you know, making these, like, gift of the magi shit, like, mutual sacrifices that, like, get crossed, whatever. And ultimately, it ends with him giving up his football career to follow her to be a dean of admissions at, I think, Penn, somewhere in Philly.
Yeah, somewhere.
They're super lovey-dovey vocally. Like, they're just, like, a very classic, like, Southern couple as far as, like, media representations, I think. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm, like, not a member of a Southern couple.
Like, they're, like, vaguely liberal. Like, Connie's...
Because, like, women can speak. Connie Britton.
Tammy?
Oh, Tammy Taylor.
Tammy. See, these ridiculous, like... fake names. Like, what are you fucking talking about? Her name's Tammy Taylor.
See, again, if you were American, you might not think it's that ridiculous.
I know. Maybe that's the problem. Honestly, maybe that's, and it's not like I grew up in a town that's very much like south of Canada. Like, it's pretty, it can be quite rural. So it's not like I don't understand that, but all these names sound like if I was trying to make fun of somebody from the south, I'd be like, my name's Tammy Taylor. Come on.
Yeah, no, that's
like,
fair.
Relax. But like her, I think her whole thing is that she's actually like vaguely liberal too. Like, she gets in trouble about like talking about abortion.
Yeah, she gets fired ultimately for like telling a young girl about abortion.
And then she becomes the guidance counselor instead of a teacher or something.
She's the guidance counselor at the shitty, she gets moved to the shitty high school.
Ah, there it is. Yeah.
They're like purported to be these like liberals because basically he like allows his wife to speak and she like has a really bold personality, but it's also like you don't get brownie points for that, like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think the politics of that show have not aged well.
Yeah, like, it's very much set up as like, this is a really traditional town with really traditional like housewives and like blah 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 blah, and like Tammy Taylor says and I'm like, so she could become a guidance counselor and like basically mother the entire town? Like, what? It's still such traditional gender stereotypes. Like, and also the whole, like, she's, like, this, like, strong, like, Southern woman. Like, it's, like, she's ballsy. And it's, like, okay, like, gag me. Yeah. Like, calm down. Although, really incredible hair. I will say, if Tammy was played by pretty much anyone besides Connie Britton, I'm sure would hate her.
Insufferable.
Yeah.
Insufferable.
Connie Britton really saves her.
Yeah, and it was clear, like, in the earlier seasons of that show, they didn't really give her a lot to do. Because she's, like, just sort of looking concerned. Like, she has, like, these sort of, like, pained eyebrows, like, oh honey, is everything okay? Like, she's just there as a foil to hear about like the football team's issues, which like
it could basically be him in a therapist's office, like for the first two seasons. Like, it could just be him, which, like,
you know, at least that's what the Sopranos did. They're like, let's let his wife actually have a plot line, we'll just send him to a therapist.
Yeah.
Like, great. He'll do it there. But like, I mean, did you ever see Amy Schumer had a skit about Friday Night Lights when she was still doing Inside Amy Schumer?
Yeah, with the giant wine.
With the giant wine.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was obviously very funny because, I mean, it's funny. But like the part that I thought was really interesting after I watched the show was that her, like, Tammy character is constantly looking at her husband being like, that's just football. Like, these like sort of like goofy, like, that's just how it is. Like, these nothing platitudes, because that's all she's there for, is to say like,
yeah,
tough times. Like,
yeah, she's like color commentary on the whole thing. Yeah,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
A lot. All right, let's talk about Eric and Sandy and Kiki, Kirsten Cohen, who I think is one of the most underrated characters in all of television. I
don't think she got her due.
I love Kirsten Cohen. I love her so much. I think she's so cute. I think she's so funny. I think she's like, I just think she's a delight.
Yeah.
A delight wrapped in a Republican, you know, like, we have to remember that.
Is she a Republican?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Her and Sandy's meet cute is that like he was campaigning for like a Democrat in the 80s like tried to convince her to change her. But I feel like she's like a libertarian, which like, you know, isn't helpful at all. You know what I mean?
She's a centrist. I mean, The tough thing about that is, like, I feel like being a Republican means something different now than it did in 1980.
People keep saying that. I mean, okay, yes, maybe Reagan different, but the early 2000s, like, I remember going to, like, protests against Iraq and Bush in the early 2000s, and I feel like people are like, it's different. And I was like, I really thought people were evil if they supported Bush.
No. I'm talking about, like, 70s, 80s Republicanism. Yeah. I'm not talking about 2001, but maybe it is wishful thinking to be like, she would never. I don't know. She's fictional. She probably would. I mean, Orange County is incredibly conservative, so, like, why not?
Yeah. Also, she's in real estate. Like, last we forgot.
As soon as anybody makes too much money, they generally become pretty conservative because they want to hoard it. So yeah, maybe.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the two are also similarly set up as this couple where it's like they have such mutual respect and they love each other. And I will say something that we see throughout their marriage, as opposed to, like, Eric and Tammy, who have these constantly, like, soundboarding off of each other, Sandy and Kirsten, like, largely lie to each other. Like, the plot often relies on one of them hiding something from the other one, which just seems a lot more true to life to me, honestly. Like, I'm just kind of like, cool. Like, I'm more invested because they're like, we're seeing them each do individual things and then lie to each other about it. Like, they both have, I think it's a little aggressive to say they have affairs. They both, like, make out with other people.
Yeah.
And, like, definitely emotionally cheat. And I mean, there's just, it's, I would say at its surface, it looks a lot less stable than Tammy and Eric, but I don't think that it is.
I guess when I think about the show in its totality, I don't remember them being a particularly conflict-ridden couple.
They're not, like, conflict-ridden, but it's a lot of, like,
it's mostly her dad.
Obviously, her alcoholism is, like, a big.
Oh, right. I forgot that.
Her dad is a huge problem, but there's also her alcoholism, which I think Sandy handles, like, really badly, which is a controversial opinion I've realized on the internet, because the internet, like, really stands Sandy's intervention. And I'm like, this is fucking insufferable. Right. Like, her dad just died and, like, she has, like, too much wine with dinner. Like, go fuck yourself. Like, we're going a little over the top. Like, maybe start with a therapist.
It's a teen drama, right? So, like, her alcoholism can't look ugly. It has to be like mom's having wine. it's like a ridiculous, like, God, you should be so lucky. Like, if Sandy had two beers every night, nobody would have said anything because he's a man and blah blah blah. But like, the stuff, the like conflicts that they have in their marriage are so funny. Like, such a big plot line in that family was about the conflict between them being, like, of different religious backgrounds, and it's just so And I guess I think about it more because, like, my husband's white and I'm not. And so we have very different holidays and different upbringings and stuff like that. And there
is he Canadian also or also American?
He is. He's Canadian. So at least we have that.
You both don't understand what Tammy Taylor is.
But you know what? This is disgusting. He roots for the Patriots. So he actually really cares about football. Oh,
that deeply terrifies me.
Isn't that so sad?
Why?
He's not.
The Patriots is like, it's like, what's the opposite of virtuous signaling? It's like basically being like, hey, I, like, could be convinced to be pretty racist. Like, that's like, the Patriots is not a good team if you're going to get into American football.
And I don't get it. And I am not involving myself. And I found that out and I was like, I'm putting that away and I'm never thinking about it again.
Great. Good call. Good
call. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah, totally.
Participating.
Totally.
But there's just something so funny to me about the show's like, boy, oh boy, how are they going to navigate this? Because he's Jewish and she's not. And I'm like, there are millions of people who do this every day.
I mean, it's not that much that he's, I mean, I guess it does come up, but it's a lot more sort of playing with the, like, Jewish, like, Judaism is cultural. You know what I mean? Because it is much more like, it's like, you don't see them, like, fighting about, like, going to temple. You know what I mean? Like, it's not
it's the cultural context of, it's the cultural context of, like, this is why Sandy is like this and this is why she's like this. And it's like, I'm sorry, there are a lot of Jewish people who are ruthless capitalists and there's lots of Christian/Catholics who are super liberal. Like, that exists, but
I'm pretty sure she's Episcopalian.
Oh, sure. See, I honestly,
have to assume. I have to assume she's a WASP.
I will trust you because I don't know any better. I mean, it's all in the same bucket for me. So,
but like there's the religion. I mean, I think also if we're talking about their marriage, we have to talk about, like, yes, it's punctuated by these, like, moments of alcoholism and, you know, infidelity kind of, but there is, like, a very intense fundamental love and respect there. Fine. But I would say the core thing that we learn about this couple over time and pretty early actually is that she is this, like, intense capitalist, like, lives in Orange County, like, waspy, like, profit above all else type woman. And he is like a public defender who is just like, I don't care about money. And like everybody in my family was a social worker, whatever. So, I mean, I feel like what they were going for there is like kind of a weird gender reversal where she's like the breadwinner, but they still needed to give him like a borderline more impressive career. Like, what?
Yeah. Like, and I guess like the other conflict in that is that Sandy like rails against these things, but he also profits from them immensely.
Oh, completely.
Like they live in a massive house and like they go to these parties and blah, blah, blah. Like there's all this stuff.
He's constantly, I mean, it's like very emblematic of like, I mean, to a certain extent, it's hard for me to blame him because I'm like, cool. Like I don't agree with white privilege, but I benefit from it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, he can't like 100% be like, well, I'm not marrying my wife because I don't want to benefit from her capitalist like wealth, whatever. But I am also kind of like, yo, you enjoy fucking some of this. Like, you are enjoying yourself to a certain degree.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that is sort of the big thing that we see. All obviously wrapped up very much with her father, who runs this, like, very shady real estate company, which Sandy, like, actively sues on multiple occasions. Like, I think, honestly, multiple occasions.
Yeah.
And he ends up having to take over when he sends her to rehab.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, it's interesting because I feel like I should rewatch the OC. I think I watched it last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, less than 10, you cut like almost 10 years ago.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, I am halfway through season two on a rewatch though, and I'm already like, I'm done. Like,
But I think at the age I'm at now, I would maybe watch the adults' plot lines differently. Cause I think when you watch it when you're younger, you're really watching it for the kids, and then the rest is just like icing.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, how's like Caleb or whatever his name is going to like ruin Marissa's life, or what's going on with her mom that's going to make her flee to Tijuana.
Like overdose.
Oh,
and then
lest
we forget, Julie Cooper is going to be like, yo, you have to go to a mental institution because you're 15 and almost like, died in Tijuana. And everyone's like, no,
that's abuse. Crazy. What do you mean? Yeah, like absurd.
Yo, like homegirl almost died.
Right. But I think I need to rewatch it as an adult because now it's like, so that's the other funny thing is that I can't imagine Kirsten at the time of them filming the show was older than 35. Like she must have been 35 to 40 because those children were 23. Like,
yeah.
And so
sure.
I watch it differently now because I think I'm closer to that age now.
Yeah.
So I think I'd be able to appreciate it differently. Because a lot of that stuff is sort of like lost in the recesses of my brain.
I will say rewatching it now, I am 100% still most involved in Seth and Summer. And then probably whatever's going on with Kirsten.
I don't think I ever got over them getting rid of Marissa from the show.
Yeah, that happened what? End of season three?
Yeah.
Do you know the story of that? I don't think I've ever done any research. Did Misha Barton want to leave?
Yeah, she was done. Yeah. I mean, it was sort of like the Katherine Heigl
Grey's
effect.
Anatomy.
Like she, yeah.
Where she was like, the show is bad. And that's why I didn't get an Emmy. And then they fired her. Yeah.
She was over it. And then she like basically made life impossible for everybody. And so I think with Misha, they were like, let's just let her out of this contract. That's my guess. Like I'm not, I mean.
Yeah.
And then I think they just got her out of the contract, but then nothing picked. I mean, she also had a lot of personal stuff and like her life just sort of.
Watching Misha Barton is awful.
It's dark.
Terrible. She's awful. She's not a good actress. And like, she's so pretty. She's so like, and not in a beautiful way where like I have any interest in having sex with her. Cause like, I find her very asexual. And I don't know if it's just that she's like really thin and that's not really my type.
I look at her, I'm like, this is an eating disorder on legs. Like she looks so hungry.
Yeah.
And like, and also like thinking about the interviews that Misha did later where she did talk about like how much pressure there was for her to stay thin. And
I didn't read any of these interviews.
Yeah. So then when she started to gain weight, the tabloids were ruthless. Like Perez Hilton, this is like peak Perez Hilton years.
Just to be clear, not something I'm proud of, but fuck it. Maybe I'm a little proud. Perez Hilton was my homepage until college. Like when you opened my laptop, it was like PerezHilton.com.
Yeah, I used to read it every day too, multiple times a day. But like he used to go after her all the time. And I remember he'd call her Mushy instead of Misha, like that sort of stuff. Because of her body, he'd circle her cellulite.
Well, also because he had such self-hatred.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very angry person. And I'm glad that I like came to realize that I was reading toxic file yeah, but from it somebody, took a while. But it took a while. Well, I mean, in my defense, I was like 12.
So yeah, like, I realized probably, I realized when I overcame anorexia that I was like, no more.
Yeah, present. You're like, oh, I'm doing this because I'm self-flagellating.
Yeah.
But I think for her, it was like the same thing. So when you watch it, you're like, this is a girl who's like falling apart in front of me for like $1 million an episode or whatever. And it's just like, not, that's not even worth it. But I guess when it comes to like the marriage stuff, I guess to go back to that, I find there was like a real lacking of intimacy between Tammy and her husband. Like they feel like they're like really good. It's like they have less chemistry than like Elliot Stabler and Olivia Benson. Like they're like two good, really good colleagues or whatever. Like I just can't
see. Okay. So, one of my I have like questions that I want to compare them on. And okay. One of them is like, who did have better sex and better chemistry?
Yeah.
And
I don't will think say, that Tammy and what's his name have seen each other naked.
I think Tammy lights. And Eric probably didn't have as like weird sex. I think they probably had like pretty boring, like yeah, missionary.
They
would, but, like,
yeah, they'd have missionary.
I think they fucked and they probably like enjoyed it and they probably had only fucked each other and really like weren't hypersexual people outside of each other. And like nobody really felt the need to like masturbate or sleep with anybody else. Like they're just like not really sexual people independently. But I do feel like they were very like romantic with each. They were much more like lovey-dovey, I feel like. They're constantly like cooing on each other and like, I don't know. I feel like they borderline, I can envision them having sex probably more than I can Sandy and Kiki.
No, I just felt like they were like good friends.
Yeah, I mean, that tracks. I think also like Sandy and Kirsten, I think I go to a place of like they have to be fucking because they don't really agree with anything about each other. So unless they wanted to fuck each other, there's no reason they would spend time together.
I like so understand and identify with that like weird bickery relationship where they're like kind of always needling each other and he's like always going out of his way to make her mad. Like that's their foreplay. Like he pisses her off by saying something about like, I don't know, like George Bush Senior or whatever, and like pisses her off.
A classic.
And that's like how, like that's how they get in the mood. And then later she like hits him. I don't know. Like they have like a weird, I think they have like a very strange kind of magnetism towards
each other. They definitely like are significantly kinkier and not just, and like you would think superficially Tammy and Eric would be because they're definitely more repressed, but like Kiki
but not
and
repressed
Sandy,
enough
like,
because she'll talk about abortion. So clearly she's not that like far into it. But
yeah, if you're still talking about abortion, you're not having shame BDSM with your high school
I think you're
football
okay.
coach husband.
But I think there was a clear reason why the OC would never break that couple up because it like it would be so against like fan service and they broke every other couple up like
Southern Summer.
Yeah, but that's also fan service. They break, up, they service. They break up a million times, right?
Like, yeah.
But like in terms of the adults in the room, like that's the glue.
I think they also probably started giving them problems to kind of see how it would read because I do think it would be a very interesting story to see how the parenting of Ryan worked out if they got divorced. Like I am actually interested in how like that kind of precarious adoptive situation would play out had they gotten divorced.
Yeah.
So I am somewhat curious about that. Although I feel like Kirsten would just get full custody because like she's rich and a woman. And like.
Yeah. But he's a lawyer.
Yeah.
So that's like, I don't know. But I think that.
That should be a category. Who would get custody of their kids?
Yeah. I mean, like Tammy would obviously get custody of their shitty kid.
Yeah, no.
But she would like have a meltdown
kids.
About
both
it.
Both women have, both Kirsten and Tammy have like late in life pregnancies. Like find out they're pregnant at 40.
Oh my God, I forgot. Yeah.
They both have unplanned 40 plus pregnancies.
That's right.
Yeah. Because they're like, what can we do? They're like, well, with high school kids, we just give somebody a teenage pregnancy. So like, let's do
pregnancy.
It for a 40-year-old. They're like being pregnant at 15 and being pregnant at 40 are the same thing in 2003. Like they're both really taboo. Like it's like, oh Jesus.
Well, Christ. And I mean, I guess like the other part of it is like, they don't actually want to give their protagonist or their like main character a baby. Cause it fundamentally changes the show. Like, having a baby is actually really boring. Like, like, and I would say this almost like
kids?
No, but like all of my friends who have children, they're like, I'm bored. Like I'm home and I like watch
this thing. They're asleep 22 hours a day.
Yeah. I'm like, I feed it and I make sure it doesn't cry. And I'm like waiting, like they're waiting for their children to be like playful, but like a baby is like, it's boring. I agree. Playing with a baby is boring. Like,
yeah.
Not until like when they're five, they're like funny and they say things and you're like, oh, you're a person now. Like, okay, let me figure you out.
I'm going to teach you to say
that. To be clear, I'm not saying that it's like not hard work. I just mean it's mundane work where you're like, you know, there's also like the.
You're canceled. You hate mothers.
I mean, honestly, if this is the thing that does it, that's fine. But there's like so much conversation around.
Dr. Cole hates motherhood.
I just don't think it's that good.
All right, we've done sex, better chemistry. I mean, okay, so you're saying, I'm going to say Sandy and Kirsten win that one. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Okay, who do we think has a more equal partnership? I think for sure it's, again, Sandy and Kirsten. I don't even think that's up for debate.
I think the tricky part is that on Friday Night Lights, so much of the rearing of the terrible daughter, who, again, whose name I don't remember.
Julie, God help her.
Sure. Got it. Thanks.
I could say literally anything and you would be like,
you could have said anything and I would have been like,
Charlotte Taylor.
Got it. Yeah, great, sounds great. Great. But I think so much of the rearing of her is just Tammy being like, what's wrong? What's the matter? Like that. Like that's all they're doing.
Yeah.
And at least like there seems to be a lot of like Seth and Sandy cohesion and talking and bonding.
Sandy is... I want to say he's a really good dad, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, because like there is like a lot of like love, and when he teaches Seth about foreplay, yeah, like that's all very sweet, and like there's a lot of joking and like whatever, but it is also, yeah, like, again, you have made this man entirely too confident. Like, I just feel like they need a little bit of trauma, because this dude is just annoying as shit, but also Julie is more annoying than Seth. At least Seth like is, yeah, intelligent.
Yeah, he's got personality. She has none. She just cries.
She's like really angry for no reason. Like, it's just, yeah, I'm like, you're like a hot blonde girl and your dad's the head of the football team. Like, what? Like, shut the fuck up. Like, she's like, I'm not as pretty as my mom. And I'm like, none of us are as pretty as Connie Britton.
Yeah. I mean, a big part of these shows are like, they're all about wealthy people. Like, there's a reason why, like even if you watch something like Riverdale, which is like the, you know, the only,
which I do, obviously,
which I do too, but it's the only like teen melodrama show that's out right now that I'm watching. Like, who are the most compelling characters? Well, Veronica, because she's rich and weird. Like,
yeah, that's true.
And then the trauma they have to write for her is like, her dad's a murderer, because like, what else could it be? Like,
and her dad's trying to murder her boyfriend.
sometimes they're okay, depends on the episode, I think. But then like, meanwhile, like Archie's like, everybody in Archie's life leaves him at some point. Like, he, yep, is completely in despair. And like, obviously some of that stuff is because like the guy who played his dad, whose name is now escaping me again.
Luke Perry
died.
Yeah.
And so then they had to like rewrite that arc that, yeah, I get, but like they create, like even with like the thought to make Jughead, like,
but I would argue it kind of goes both ways, where it is like teen television, especially now, I feel like has gotten significantly more extreme in some ways that people don't really think about, which is basically, mm-hmm, like, first of all teen dramas now have like some supernatural element.
Yes.
Like they all have like murderers or ghosts or ghouls or goblins or witches or like whatever. Like there's just, yeah, like teen dramas now, like you have to be witches. Like that's the, yeah, only way that anybody's gonna watch it, first of all. Second, yeah, of all, I do feel like, yes, with Veronica, but I would say arguably the star of that show, and maybe not in our generation, but certainly like based on the TikToks, I think Jughead is the fan favorite.
Yeah.
And Jughead is like incredibly poor. That's like a big part of his storyline.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's more just that like in teen dramas and maybe television as a whole, I don't know, like I'm not a TV theorist, but like honestly, fuck it, on this podcast, we'll say I am. Like, I feel like it's kind of a reaction to the, like, Brady Bunch, Leave It to Beaver kind of shit, where they're like, no, we don't want anybody in the middle. We want, like, the super rich and the poor. And, like,
yeah, exactly.
It has to, yeah, be a plot line. And anybody that's just living, like, a middle-class American dream, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But also, those people don't really exist anymore because the middle class is dying. So maybe that's it.
Yeah, there you go.
We're just not interested in seeing what we can't have.
I mean, art imitates life.
They're like, these people just own a house and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So equal partnership. I mean, Tammy and Eric do, I will say, on Friday Night Lights, they do like constantly like offer things to one another to benefit each other's career. Whereas, mm-hmm, I feel like Kirsten and Sandy are actively in conflict.
Yeah, most, but that's of the time, kind of why I think that Tammy and what's his name are, I literally can't remember his name. That's why it feels like they
just
are
say
really
any
good business.
Dude's name.
So Tammy and Steve are like really good business partners.
It's Tammy and Steve, not Tammy and Eve. Sorry.
Not Tammy and Eve. Yeah. I don't know.
Totally.
I don't know. America's weird.
Yeah, that's the title of the episode for sure. All right. Are there any big key grand gestures that were like come to mind for either couple? I'm sure not Friday Night Lights. But I do think it does bear noting that like for Friday Night Lights, like at the end of the day, like the coach does give up his football coaching career to support Tammy, who objectively has like a much more real job.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to be a dean.
Like, okay, I'll quit my high school football coaching job.
Yeah, like I don't know that that's like a comparative model.
It is like, hard she's for me because just watching it, I'm like, yo, she has a real job and like you don't.
Yeah. See, that's what I always found funny is that like this show, I understand it's like for, they're appealing to a teenage market. So they're doing high school football instead of college football. But it is funny because like there's so many steps between high school football and really getting famous as opposed to college football, because then it's like those schools are pipelines, right? Like they're just pushing those boys into the NFL.
The Patriots to be rooted for by your husband.
To kick each other in the shins. I have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's just so, that's why it's so funny. Like anytime, and part of this again might just be my Canadian perspective because sports are not treated with the same reverence in high school, with a few exceptions, like hockey is obviously a huge deal.
Yeah,
it's mostly hockey, right? So like, and obviously there's a real pipeline pushing these kids into hockey and getting them like,
boys. It's your future, you know what I mean?
It's like, your future, in a way, and I get that. But it's just so funny to me that they're like, we're going to do this for high school football. And I'm like, what?
Yeah,
like, I know, it's a big deal, but like, it still seems goofy to me.
I feel like I would be remiss to not pay deference to the fact that I feel like I know people personally that would be like horrified by this conversation and be like, it is a big deal. And like, you don't understand, like this New Yorker talked to this Canadian and they didn't understand fucking football and fuck them. But like, you know what? Fuck it. We're here.
I didn't.
We are the keepers of culture and taste.
Right. But I mean, you still, like, you don't go, to my knowledge, you don't go from high school football into professional football. At 17 or 18. There's years between the two.
I think maybe it's not like the NBA, you have to go to college for a year. I think, I don't know what it is in football. I think, I don't know if you have to go to college or not to play in the NFL.
You know what? I honestly, like watching the school, like the colleges struggle in the States with staying open because they want their kids to be able to come play sports made me sort of rethink, like, you do need to go to college, clearly, because if this was something they could bypass, then I think a lot of people just would have done it, but they can't. So
yeah.
I mean, I know that I'm like, I just think that there's something kind of funny and like low stakes about the idea of like, he's going to quit his high school football coaching job because she's going to be fucking dean. Like, out of here, man. Like, what are you talking about? And also, like, in the universe of the show, he's been teaching high school football for a while. They moved to this town so he can teach at the school.
Yeah, she's been following him. They've lived in like 8 different towns. That's why their daughter's so pissy, because she's like, I have to move. And it's like, bitch, shut the fuck up. I mean, to be fair, I mean, I will say that's like the first like feeling I've ever had in favor of Julie is, I'm like, I will say, if my father like carted me around the America to like live in 8 small towns because he had to coach a high school football team, I'd be pretty fucking pissed.
I guess. I mean, but she got her whole high school experience at the same school. That's like the most salient part, right? She got what she wanted.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
I just hate Julie. You're not going to get me to say something nice about her.
I mean, she's terrible. She's terrible. But I will say, like, that does suck for her. Not that she doesn't deserve it, but, like, that sucks for her. Like,
Fair enough.
I would be thoroughly bummed if that were my life. Yeah. But I also think if that were my life, I would be, like, a very different person who probably wouldn't be bummed by something like that. Like, I think that's what's weird about Julie is, I'm like, you're acting like such a victim of your circumstance, but I don't know who, like, told you that your circumstances shit. Like, it's just like, it seems pretty sweet for someone like you. Like, it seems like a pretty good gig.
The other issue is, like, speaking of Misha Barton being a bad actress, like, whoever plays Julie is God, she's like a paper bag with a nervous system. She's bad.
Watching Misha Barton, it's interesting because I'm like, it is just maybe like, maybe it's just like Marissa is a terribly written character and she's terribly directed. And they were just like, be a pretty doll. Like, there you go. Like, go for it.
I mean, the part of the problem was that her character was supposed to be like, she exclusively exists for Ryan to save her and to like rescue her. Summer has a personality. And even though her personality,
Summer's fucking amazing.
Right. And even though the personality at the beginning is bad, it's like she's a shitty, popular, beautiful, rich girl who goes to school. Yeah, gross. Like that's like the whole, that's her vibe, but at least it's something. And with Marissa, they never really gave her anything. And then they're shocked that she's like, I don't want to overdose in Tijuana on the show for 5 years. So I'm out of here. Like,
yeah, I mean, they gave her like a teenage drug problem that like never really gets treated or dealt with in any real way.
And like, what a depressing job. Like every day she used to come to work and like hold up these vodka bottles and be like, look what I found. Remember that scene? Like,
yeah. Okay. Also, that just made me so mad at Sandy because I just remembered, like after Marissa OD'd in Tijuana, Sandy like organized like a detente with Ryan and Julie Cooper so that Ryan could be like, Marissa's not going to a mental institution, like despite the fact that she just OD'd in Tijuana. And then Sandy sends his fucking wino wife to rehab in like a minute. Like, fuck off, Sandy. Like, your understanding of substance abuse is flawed.
They send Marissa to her dad who like lives on a boat because he like he's broke because he fucked up with the stock market again. I don't understand any of this, so I don't know what exactly happened, but he's broke.
He's like Enron.
Yeah, it's like a scam art. I was just gonna say, he like did like a weird Enron cut and run thing that didn't work, and he's like a small scale scam artist, and you want me to be like, yeah, she should go live with him. Also, he does not seem to behave like he has a daughter for a minute in that show.
Oh, he doesn't behave like he has a daughter at all.
But you could watch it and be like, I don't know how this guy's connected to any of these characters until all of a sudden she shows up and he's like, hey, honey. And you're like, oh, shit, that's her dad.
Well, also, he used to date Kirsten. He's the first time we see Kirsten with her infidelity and not telling Sandy shit is that in the first season, Jimmy kisses her and she doesn't tell Sandy about it. And then he tells Sandy about it like half a season later. And he's like, what? And then we're all like, okay, well, that was inconsequential.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Yeah, Marissa and Jimmy's relationship is, I don't know. I think Julie Cooper is also just like criminally underrated. Like, I just think she's like not that bad of a mom or a person. But we're doing a whole episode on her coming up. So.
Yeah, I mean, with her, it's like, again, like the way they styled her character, she walks in with her look first. And so she's got like red hair and very blue eyes. She looks like She looks like a beautiful monster. Like,
She looks like Medusa.
There's a clear aesthetic that they're using to be like, she's a bad person. And then like, also everything wrong with Marissa comes from her mother. So like, you know, they've created this narrative pretty early on.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. So, I mean, overall, it sounds like we're both much more in the Sandy and Kirsten camp. Like they're the winners. They win best marriage.
Mm-hmm. They win. Yeah.
All right. I'm into that. Well, what do you want to plug?
My podcast is called Not Great. It comes out every Tuesday for now. We'll see what happens because the government keeps doing things to me. So we'll see how that changes. No, I mean, like, because Trump, like, stuff happens. So maybe we'll have to just do more episodes.
Oh, God. I thought you were like, because, like, the government is doxing me. I was like, what? I was like, what is your podcast, Trade Secrets?
The news is so aggressively weird. So Not Great, it's every week and it's about like the not great news of the week. But because there's so much not great news that we might have to readjust. But it's called Not Great. It's really funny. I hope people like it. And it's more of me yelling. Less about this sort of stuff, but it gets in there.
And where can we find you on the socials?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Saachi, and that's SCAACHI.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, this has been Melodramatic Teen Universe. You can find us at MTU Podcast or me, Emily Duke, at Emily Duke. Haha. And we will see you next time.